You will turn in your Bibles this morning. We are going to be deviating from our study of the Thessalonians this morning for just 1 week, and we'll be in Ephesians chapter 6. I actually talked with John beforehand and said, should we keep the kids in until after the scripture reading? And you'll see why here in a minute. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, we'll read the first three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being able to come into your house as a body of believers with one mind and one goal, and that's to honor you, Lord. We just pray now that as we study your word and we look at this special study regarding mothers, and we just thank you for the mothers that you've placed in our lives, and we pray that we would honor and love them. And Lord, we just also honor and love you through it. Now we just pray that you would be with Pastor Craig as he delivers the message that you've placed on his heart. May our hearts and minds be open to receive it, and may our lives be changed by it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. As Ron mentioned, we are going to depart from our series in 1 Thessalonians this morning to honor moms. There are numerous countries in the world today that have national holidays centered around motherhood and recognizing its importance. But even more importantly than that, the fact that nations, people recognize it is the fact that God, even in his word, illustrates the significance, the importance of motherhood. He compares himself to even to a mother caring for her children. In Isaiah 66:13, he says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." And he's talking to Israel there about basically acting in that motherhood role to them. And really not that there are feminine words used of God. They are masculine words. But the Holy Spirit even exercises mothering characteristics in our relationship to him. Maybe this is new to you, but the Bible says that we are children who are born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our comforter sent so that we would not be orphans. He is our teacher, our trainer, our sustainer, and completely submissive to the Father. And I believe that motherhood, earthly motherhood, at least that ministry itself, is actually modeled after the ministry of the Holy Spirit to God's children. And in seeing this likeness, there is no doubt that motherhood is a very, very special ministry. And even though our earthly mothers are not perfect like the Holy Spirit is, they are deserving of recognition and love. And this morning we're going to learn a few ways to do that. I think, though, even by nature, even in our fallen, sinful state, we realize that moms are important. Okay, they are significant in our lives. I read about a school teacher who gave her class of second graders a lesson about the magnet and what it does, even demonstrating how metal objects are attracted and stick to it. And the next day in a written test, she included this question. She asked, "My name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I?" When the test papers were returned, about half of the students filled in mother. All right? And I think even by nature, we realize how significant, how important motherhood is in our life. Our rooms might be filthy otherwise, right? No, but even though our earthly mothers are not perfect, okay, they are deserving of our recognition, our love, and this morning we're going to learn a few ways to do that. Now, I understand that not all of us here still have our moms with us, but many of us do. And perhaps even for those who do not, maybe there is someone in your life even right now that is kind of that mother figure to you. And even if you don't have that person, we could even take some of what we learn here this morning and apply it to the Holy Spirit. Not all of it will apply, but some of it will. We need to know that even as God is a father and husband to widows, okay, and orphans, that God is also that can be that mother figure, so to speak, to those of us who don't currently have one in this world. Again, not all will apply in that regard, but some will. But either way, this morning, we're going to look at four ways to express love to our moms. And our subject is love your mom. And the first of the four ways we're going to look at this morning, the first of four ways to do that is by obeying her. Obeying her. If you want to look at verse 1 of chapter 6 there, again, we're actually going to look at a few different passages of Scripture this morning. But starting here, chapter 6, verse 1 of Ephesians says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." This is right. Biblical obedience is doing something because it is the right thing to do. And really, it is done out of love. Jesus, in John chapter 14, verse 15, said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." It is the right thing to do. Now, today, obedience is oftentimes seen as conditional. We obey the rules if I get what I want in return. I will do my job if you will pay me. I will obey my parents if they give me what I want. In fact, sometimes parents even see it that way and bribe their children to obey. They're treating this love relationship as more of a profession and a business relationship. We have a word today in the English language that has, like so many other words in our language, lost its original meaning. As we think of the word amateur, we often think of someone who is less qualified than a professional, someone who is less qualified than one who is paid or less likely to do what they're supposed to do. But really, the word amateur comes from the Latin word amore, which means to love. So really, an amateur, the original definition is someone who does something and does it well because they love to. They love it. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Obedience is a way to express really unconditional right love to our moms. So how do we obey? Well, obedience first of all requires listening. And I'm going to, just so you know, I'm going to wander from our passage here. This is more of a topical message this morning. But obedience does require listening. Just like obeying God, we must know what our moms are saying, expecting, wanting before we can obey it. Proverbs 7:24, God says, "Now therefore, listen to me. My children, pay attention to the words of my mouth." Obedience requires listening, and obedience requires labor. Actually doing what we are told to do. In James 1:22, it says of obeying God, it says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, So listening is required, labor is required, okay? But also another requirement of obedience, biblical obedience requires love. It does require love. And if you think about it, every single act of disobedience, even against the laws of our land, stem from a lack of love. It might be a lack of love for God. It might be a lack of love for others. It might be a lack of love for our land. In fact, Oswald Chambers wrote, he said, "The Lord does not give me rules, but he makes his standard very clear. If my relationship to him is that of love, I will do what he says. If I hesitate, it is because I love someone I have placed in competition with him, namely myself." Jesus, again, he said, if you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love your mom, you will obey her. That is right. Now, two qualifying statements concerning obeying our mom. We talked earlier about obedience requiring listening, obedience requiring labor, and you have to know that there are some qualifying things you need to know about obeying your mom. The first one is, there is an expiration date. All right, there is an expiration date on obeying your mom. Listen to Ephesians 6:1 again. It says, "Children, obey your parents." This tells us that children must obey their parents. It is the right thing for them to do, but there will come a day when children are supposed to grow up and become adults. And at that point in time, mom now becomes a source of wisdom rather than a sovereign authority in our lives. And that actually leads us to our second qualifying statement. The first one was, there is an expiration date. The second one is actually a disclaimer. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." In other words, obey them just as you would obey the Lord. And the disclaimer is, if one's parents ever command their children to do something that is contrary to what the Lord commands, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Now, most moms would never do that. Most moms will always have their children's best and godly interests at heart. Most moms love their children so much that they will only tell them to do what is right. And therefore, obedience is the first way that we can love her. This, by the way, is a way we love God in return too. Obedience. Obedience. The second way to express love for mom is esteeming her. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is commonly known as the love chapter of the Bible. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want to read you just a couple of verses, but we're going to begin with verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. Now, before I read it, know that not everything we talk about here this morning is going to apply to everybody in every situation, but we're looking at these things, and I'm certain that one or more will apply to you directly, okay? For instance, some of us don't have moms to obey anymore, okay? So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. We're talking about esteeming her. Look at the verse. It says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up." Now, while this verse is not specific to loving moms, it is specific to loving. These verses begin to define what love is, and we're learning this morning how to love our moms. And one way to express love is through esteeming her. Esteem is considering others in high regard. It is putting others even ahead of ourselves. Well, right from this verse, we learn that love is not about us. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Rather, it esteems or uplifts others. It is patient. It is kind. Esteeming our mom is treating her better, perhaps, even than we would treat ourselves. Being patient, kinder. Now, my mom was supposed to be here this morning. I was hoping that she would be, just so I could express my appreciation to her. But as I was going through this and reading these verses in particular, I imagined in my mind some thoughts that might be running through her head. One of them would be, "Boy, Craig, you're not doing a very good job at esteeming me and loving me." The other might be, "Keep preaching, Craig, because you really, really need to hear this." But I do need to hear this. I want you to know this message is as much for me as it is for anyone. Thomas Paine was an American author who was very instrumental, actually, in guiding the course of the American Revolution. And he said this, and you'll see how it ties in here in a minute. But he said, "What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly." What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. Now, he wrote that to communicate, really, that obtaining independence in this country will be costly and therefore highly esteemed. Okay? But directly it tells us that in our human nature, we often take very lightly those things that are or were free to us. And here we are 200 years later after he penned those words, and many people have no idea what our freedom in this country actually cost. And they're wanting to literally throw it away, esteeming it too lightly. Salvation from sin is free to us. And I know believers who live like the devil. Salvation is never something that should be esteemed lightly. And then we have our moms, who gave to us very, very freely. It cost us nothing. Let us not esteem them too lightly. So how do we esteem our moms? Well, the same way we might esteem anyone. And I think we can learn it right from this passage here in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Be patient. Love suffers long. In a few minutes, we're going to talk about the fact that moms aren't perfect. Okay, there has never been a perfect mom in all of history, because aside from Jesus Christ, there has never been a perfect person. Okay, that is why patience is required. It's required in loving anybody. It's required in loving even our moms. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, in a sense, Paul tells Timothy there, be patient, esteem elderly women, moms, esteem them highly. And I think maybe he says that because he knows that what we obtain too cheaply, we often esteem too lightly. Esteem moms highly. And really we do this in light of the loving patience that our Lord had and has with us. In 2 Peter 3:9, we read that the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we, you know, we in our stubbornness, we in our ignorance, we even in our arrogance refused our Lord and his salvation over and over and over again, perhaps. I thought I was a Christian for the first 28 years of my life. I finally realized at that point what God really says about sin and my sinful condition and the salvation that he offers. And I have to tell you, I for one am very, very patient, or very, very thankful that God was patient with me for 28 years of my life and that he still is. He esteemed me. Be patient is the first way that we can esteem our mom. A second one is to be kind. We learn here in our passage, love is kind. Love is kind. Oftentimes, we are not kind because we are not patient. The two go hand in hand. But being kind, it is being friendly. Really, it's being even more than friendly. It's being merciful. I don't know your relationship between you and your mom. I don't know what that is. But being kind is being friendly, is being merciful. In fact, the act of mercy in Scripture is often translated as loving kindness. It is being friendly towards someone, even those perhaps who don't deserve it. And again, I don't know what your relationship to your mom is, but regardless, esteem her, be patient, be kind. And certainly we can do our moms because God demonstrated his loving kindness to us. Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Titus 3:5 tells us that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, his loving kindness, he saved us. Perhaps the best example of all of how to be patient and kind is Jesus Christ, as we read about it in Philippians chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but let me read verses 3 through 8 to you. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And he goes on and he says this. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." We can love our moms because Christ loved us. We can love our moms the way Christ loved us, by obeying her, esteeming her. And then thirdly this morning, by forgiving her. Again, I don't know what your relationship is, but I'm hoping there's something here this morning that will apply to everyone here. Forgiving her. If you're still in 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 5. It says this of love. It says, "It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil." And what this verse is describing to us is the fact that love does not hold a grudge. It does not seek revenge, does not become angry, and does not keep records of wrongs. And so by implication, what we learn here is that love forgives. It forgives. In his book, Lee, The Last Years, Charles Flood told a story about the Civil War, and it was actually after the Civil War that Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery. She looked to Lee for a word of condemning the North, or at least sympathizing with her loss. And after a brief silence, Lee said, "Cut it down, my dear madam. Forget it. It's not that big a deal. It's a tree. Cut it down. Forget it. It's better. It's better to forgive the injustices, even the perceived injustices of the past, than allow them to remain and let bitterness take root in our heart. Holding on to a grudge, unforgiveness, not only hinders love, but it poisons our own life. We can love our moms by forgiving them. Why should we forgive our mom? Well, because moms make mistakes. Moms make mistakes, sometimes really big, plentiful, sinful mistakes. As noted earlier, there has never been a perfect mom in all of history, because aside from Jesus Christ, there's never been a perfect person. Moms make mistakes. Moms sin just like we do. But just like we want forgiveness for our sins, forgive your mom. It is a way to express love to her. After all, God forgives you. His love is unconditional, just like ours should be. After all the sins we have committed, after those beautiful, holy standards of God that we have smeared mud upon, spit upon, perhaps even mocked, so to speak, God still offers forgiveness to us. He gave Jesus Christ to take sin's penalty upon himself, so that through our personal faith in him, we could be forgiven. Acts 4:12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Acts 16:31 tells us, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 tells us he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Moms do make sinful mistakes, just like we do. God offers us forgiveness. We need to forgive our moms. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love your mom by obeying her, esteeming her, forgiving her, and then lastly this morning, by honoring her. If you would, turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read to you those three verses again. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Now, there are a number of things that we could look at and focus on in this verse, but I want to focus on honor. Closely connected to esteem is honoring our mom. Honor is really, it's an expression of our esteem. Demonstrating to her and about her that we do truly hold her in high regard and value. By our actions, by our words, others can actually see how much we value her. I read about the world's largest cut sapphire. It's called the Star of David. It is a deep blue, 2,111 carat sapphire. That is almost a full pound of gemstone. Today it sits on a pedestal in a museum for all to see. There's security system around it, armed guards to guard it, which clearly demonstrates its value, which, by the way, is right around $300 million. However, up until about 30 years ago, this $300 million sapphire was in a cardboard box under the bed of Rob Cutshaw. Rob was a rock hound from North Carolina who found the gem in 1967. He didn't name it the Star of David. He called it Big and Purdy. And he figured it might be worth a few hundred bucks. And for 20 years, he kept it in a cardboard box under his bed. Now, let me ask you, who honored that sapphire more, him or the museum? All right, the museum. Now, I have never kept my mom in a cardboard box under my bed. I've never done that. But there have been many times when I have severely underappreciated her. Rather than demonstrating and expressing her true value to me, I underappreciated her. So how can we express honor to our moms? Well, first of all, by obedience. Obedience is honoring. It kind of brings us full circle here now. Simply doing what our moms have taught us to do is a way of honoring her, even as an adult. Now, if my room is clean, if there are no dirty clothes on the floor, if I've made my bed, I've scraped my plate, and I've brushed my teeth, that's honoring to my mom. Those are simple things. But I guess my point is, doing those virtuous things that our moms have taught us to do is a way to honor her. I will tell you that I have seen adult kids that I've looked at them and the godly way they conduct themselves in their lives, and I think, wow, they must have a neat mom. It's honoring to her. In fact, Paul attributes Timothy's faith to his mother and grandmother. He says in 2 Timothy, he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." As he looked at Timothy, it was honoring to his mother and grandmother to see the way he conducted himself. Obedience is honoring. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Praise is honoring. In Proverbs 31:28, it says of a virtuous woman, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." When was the last time that we praised our mom for the virtues she possesses and taught us? Or perhaps we could even express that to the mother of our children in those areas of life that she has been a blessing. Obedience is honoring. Praise is honoring. And then giving thanks is honoring. Just saying, "Thank you, Mom. Thank you for loving me, for teaching me, for training me, for comforting me, for speaking, or I should say, from and speaking from the standpoint of a married man, I could thank my mom for exemplifying many of those qualities that I looked for in a wife and the mother of my children. But not only do I thank you, Mom, but I thank God for you, because he knew exactly what I needed in a mother. He is the one who knit me together in my mom's womb. He is the one who worked in my mom's life so that I could become who I became." so I thank God for you, Mom. It was Anna M. Jarvis. She was the first person who ever suggested a national observance of a day honoring moms and motherhood. And she did this because she loved her mom so dearly. And it was actually at a memorial service for her mother on May 10th of 1908 that she gave a carnation, her mother's favorite flower, to each person that attended that memorial. And within the next years, that idea of honoring mothers gained popularity, and Mother's Day was observed in a number of the larger cities in the United States. Well, it was on May 9th of 1914, by an act of Congress, that President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers in this country. But even more important than that, more important than a national holiday recognizing that, is the fact that God's Word recognizes it. God Himself illustrates the significance of motherhood by comparing Himself to a mother caring for her children. And again, not that there are feminine, we don't want to take this example too far. There aren't feminine words used of God, but the Holy Spirit does exercise those mothering characteristics in our relationship to Him. And therefore, I believe that earthly motherhood, the ministry of motherhood, is actually modeled after the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And for that reason, love your mom. Love your mom. Let's close in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we are very thankful for just the significance and importance that you place on motherhood. And Lord, for that reason, for modeling that ministry yourself to us, Lord, we do thank you for moms this morning. I do pray, Lord, again, not knowing each and every relationship between children and mothers here today, not knowing who has their mother yet here in this world or not, not knowing who has been a mother. Lord, I pray that you would allow what we've looked at today to apply to us in whatever way you deem. Lord, I pray that what we've looked at today would just meet us where we're at today, and we can take what we've learned and exercise it in our life in some way, shape, or form. It may just be in response to you and how you care for us. But Lord, again, thank you for this morning. We do thank you for the moms in our lives, and I pray that the day wouldn't end without us expressing our appreciation for them. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Morning with Amazing Grace.
To fear and grace my faith. amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are
those that are dear to us in our lives.